Meg, thanks for everybody in service and welcome to all the newcomers. My name is Elizabeth and I am an alcoholic from Louisville, Kentucky. And as she said, I've been sober since the age of 21 and a half. I'm now I'm going to be 60 this month. I'm getting used to saying that. And I feel so grateful that I got introduced to the program of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. Wasn't always that way when I first got sober. Everyone was in therapy talking about their problems. That worked for me. I got a lot of attention. I was really cute at 21 and everyone was older than me, so I just sat around and talked about me and they all said, "Keep coming back and we love you." But after a while that wasn't enough. And thank God I met my big book thumping sponsor. When I met her, I was ready to do what she told me to do. And it took a while because I'm pretty smart. I think a lot of people in AA are smart. I think we are, if they tested us, generally, I think a lot of us are maybe too smart for our own good. And that's why it might take a while for some of us to really get humble and just do what, I mean, if you really listen to what they say in AA, we're broken records around here. We keep saying the same stuff. We don't have anything new. They came up with this thing in 1935. And then they published a book in 1939, right? And they've made very few changes to the first 164 pages because it works. So just do it, right? I heard a speaker the other day say they already figured this out. There's nothing that you have to figure out. Just do what they say in the book. But it took me a while because, I don't have to follow the rules everyone else has to follow. You all don't understand. I have a way of putting that square peg in that round hole. You all don't get it. I don't need to do everything. And that, and this kept me, and the thing with me, and I'm sure others can relate, I am a natural problem solver, and I think that life is a series of problems for me to solve, challenges. I'm a good employee. If you give me 10 ways to, if there's 10 ways not to figure something out, I will figure out the solution. I am tenacious. I don't let go easily. But unfortunately, this all prevents me from having a spiritual experience. There's no room for God because I'm too busy playing God. I didn't know that. And really, if it's working, or if it's working enough, or if I can have a way of telling you why it's not working, I just like when I was drinking, there was always some excuse or reason why it didn't work out this time. I got drunk, I got wasted, I ended up somewhere I didn't plan to be. I got into a little trouble. There was always an excuse. There was always a reason. There was, even to myself in my own mind, I would think, oh, I didn't eat enough dinner. Oh, I was upset about my boyfriend. Oh, and then even after I got sober, I thought, oh, my life is so hard. I have a special needs kid. I'm single. I've got, three children going to three schools. And, I'm crazy. Life is crazy. You come up and say, Elizabeth, how are you? I'm like, I'm busy right now. Like constantly living in the bedevilments on page 52 and not knowing that there was another way to live. I thought AA was about not drinking. That just gets you in the door. Now I've got a disease. I have a disease. I have an illness that causes me to react to life in a way where I'm always thinking about myself. How come Claire didn't call me back? What about Alia? She doesn't like me. I think they were talking about me. Why can't I lose 10 pounds? How come my relationship isn't the way I want it to be? Why doesn't my house look the way that I want it to? How come these people are slow in traffic? Why don't these people get out of the left lane? I wake up with a brain that starts thinking and doesn't stop. If you have a little time in here, try going through the book instead of the word drinking, put thinking in there. Put control. How am I trying to run my life? I don't think we're jerks in here. I think we're just trying to be okay. But the way that this looks to other people is it looks selfish and self-centered. And boy, did I not like that word when I got here. And by the way, if you're new and you heard that we're talking about steps 10, 11, and 12, don't be scared off. This is something, if you need a new way of life, and you may not realize that right now. You might think, woman, I'm just here to just quit drinking and getting into trouble and ended up in jail and ended up losing my family. And you know what? That is the start of this. But then after a while, I think I've got this. I'm sober now. I always ask people the first question when they come in, I say, can you stay sober on your own? Usually they say no, or they're not sure. Those are the toughest ones. If they're not sure, those are the toughest ones to help. And then I introduce them to AA's program of recovery. And I talk about the triangle, the three sides of the triangle, recovery through the 12 steps, unity. This is a strong home group. I'm aware of your home group. I have one too. Coming in here, letting people get to know me, participating, showing up enough that if you stop showing up, people go, "Where'd she go? Where is she?" You know? And I bet you guys check on people. You probably go do outreach like my home group does. If we don't see someone, we track them down. We're like, "Where have you been? You okay? We don't want to lose you, you know?" In service. I have jobs in AA today, and that keeps me coming, and it's so important. I have needed the AA program more in the last 4 years than I needed it in the first, what am I now, 38 and a half? Yeah, in the first 34 years. I have had intensely painful things happen that had me waking up at 5 a.m. and going to the park to pray. Okay, if you knew me, first of all, you would know how insane that is. That's the last thing Elizabeth would do. What? She sleeps till noon, you know? She barely ever prays. That woman doesn't pray. I was desperate. My human resources failed. I was in a relationship with an alcoholic who relapsed and suddenly started acting like the worst person I'd ever met, treating me like garbage, cheating on me. I didn't even know he had relapsed at first. I didn't know what was going on. My life was turned upside down, and I felt like a thousand knives were stabbing me in the chest, and I had no power over what was happening. And I was begging God to help me. And thank God I knew what the tools were in AA at that point. It says in the book, the trials and the low spots, they're coming, you know, for all of us. I can stay sober on a good day without much of a program, but when things really go bad, I better have one. And the reason I better have one is because this disease is deadly. And if I drank again, I might not make it back. I drove in blackouts. Now I can't see at night. It'd probably be pretty fast. You know, I go out and have a car crash day one. So I take this seriously and I show up and I do what AA suggests. Now, by the time you get to step 10, hopefully you've done a really most important step, and people say this, you're going to hear it, step one. And it's not just the powerless over alcohol. It's how am I living my life such that I end up in a state of being that I need relief from alcohol. Right? I'm not going to suffer from the physical part of this illness unless I take a drink. So I better get into a state where I don't want to take one. Right? Because all those people out there that can drink to cope with life and make a happy time better or a sad time to deal with it, they can do that. I can't. I won't stop. I'll tell myself I don't want to stop. That's what happened to me. I didn't even get to the point where I thought I couldn't stop because I quit so young. But I would tell them, oh, you know. Rarely did I even plan to have a couple of drinks anyway. You know, I was out to get drunk. I want the effect. Why would anybody do social drinking? I told somebody I once forgot an entire weekend. Someone came up to me in AA and described an entire weekend that we'd had together when I was drinking. And I said, "Does that sound like social drinking to you?" And somebody else said, "Yeah, maybe, but I just don't remember who I socialized with." I'm like, "Oh my God." Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm not really. I never fooled myself into thinking that I wanted to have, you know, one or two drinks. It just wasn't my thing. But when I thought that I needed to, I always had a reason why I continued to drink more. So, step one, you know, my sponsor took me through it very slowly with lots of writing. And that's when I could see the truth. When I see those words on paper, I can't escape the truth because, see, I'm so good at avoiding it. Step three for me was amazing. I'm not going to go through all the first nine because we don't have time, but to really look at pages 60 to 63. And if you're like me, if you can identify with anything I've said, those pages were very powerful for me to really look at and see how I'm doing that in my life. Because when I'm expecting everything to be a certain way and it's not, I'm agitated, you know? But it's such a natural state for me that I often didn't notice. I didn't notice that I was agitated. I didn't notice that I was controlling things because I was always like that. You know, that's just how I was. But that starts to get painful after a while, staying sober, you know, and life gets hard. And I'm holding on for dear life and I'm white knuckling it and you know, and I'm yelling at my kids and I'm short with everybody, and you wait on me in a coffee shop, and I'm rude to you because I don't have time for this. And it's a miserable way to live, and I lived that way for a long time. Thank God, in the fall of 2020, I ran into a group that talked about how they thought and how they react to life, and I started to hear myself. They didn't even do drunkalogs in this group, and I send people to this group all the time. I learned so much there. And if you're interested in knowing about it, I'm happy to share if I can after I speak. I send a lot of people there, especially the relapsers who don't understand that this is something we have to treat while we're sober. I can't get to that place. And it's an all day, every hour. I need to have a program that works all day, every hour. And I found that out, like I said, in 2022, especially. So I get through the first 9 steps to get clear. Don't make a project of it, get it done. Because this is about living this. This is about using these tools. 10, 11, and 12 are a little condensation of the rest, right? And so I'll talk about how that now that I'm up to 9 minutes left, I'll talk about that now. Wait, my clock's going down and yours is going up. That's so fun. I think. No, yours is going down. I have my time and I think. Oh,
We have
anyway,
sorry,
I'll just focus on
my.
what's on there. So, and again, if you're new, I once heard a speaker say that his sponsor said, you can start working all the steps that start with one. I bet that people in here are encouraged to help other newcomers, even when they're new. I'm just guessing. Am I right, Alia? Do y'all encourage that? We do too. You don't have to wait. If you have an hour more than somebody, you have something to offer. Every person here has walked in with their own story, you know? I especially tell older people when they get here when they're older, you got a lot of life that you lived. You can help those young girls that are trying to figure out how to just be, you know, how to live, how to be an adult. You don't have to, you know, you're not like a baby. You've got life. You're coming in here with some experience at life. So it's not just, you know, we help each other with a lot of things when we get here. That's part of the unity. We, you know, we share and we help each other and we don't go through life alone. I am going through something really difficult right now. I have a resentment like I've never had in my life. It is eating me up inside with anger, rage, bitterness. I've never wanted another person to die until this past year. I have never experienced this. I am reaching out for help. I have gone to people. I have a wonderful sponsor, and I even texted her 2 days in advance and said, listen, we're meeting Thursday. I need to tell you that we need to talk about this and I need to get to work. So if I chicken out on Thursday morning, I'm texting you now to tell you. Okay, so there's a little tactic you can use. But anyway, you know, hopefully I've gotten through the first nine. You're going to do all this again. So seriously, don't act like you have to be perfect the first time through. But I want to read a little on step 10 because I absolutely love, it starts on page 84. So 10 and 11 are 84 through 88 in the big book. And one of my favorite words, it says, we have entered the world of the spirit. Okay. My entire goal with these steps is to get to the point that my well-being doesn't depend on what happens or doesn't happen in my life. Okay? I used to be a person that if you called me, I would tell you my whole list of things that stress me out today. You know, today I have learned how to practice this, okay? For me, steps 10, 11, and 12 are a continuation of what I really learned in step 3, and if you get into the 12 and 12, it talks about this. Step 3 is like a doorway. You know, I've looked at my step 1 and I'm like, "Ugh." And then step 2, I'm like, "All right, I have some kind of idea that maybe I'm not the best power for my life." Now that I've done a thorough step 1 and I've seen where I keep falling down and hitting the wall with trying to run everything, and that was hard for me, I'm telling you, because I could make things look successful, but in my mind I was blocked from anything else because I constantly was worrying about me, you, what I'm going to figure out. And so I learned when I found this group, especially, thank God for this one man, the way he worded it clicked for me finally that anything that's going on in my life today, okay? And with step 10, it's we continue to take inventory, right? Anything that disturbs my serenity, keeps me blocked, keeps me from being useful to you, counts. in this, okay? Anything, when you go to your higher power and you ask a question, right? Or you ask a question to anyone, the answers are yes, no, or not now, not sure. Do you ever go to make a decision and you feel that little resistance in your chest, kind of? It's like, not sure about this. There's not a clear yes and there's not a clear no, right? It's just like, not sure. The way I used to be, I had to run around and solve this thing right now. I'm gonna go send all you 10 texts. I'm gonna be like, what are we gonna do about this? What about if there's urgency? Because my foundation used to be on making sure that I made my life what I needed it to be for me to be okay. I got security from the outside, okay? This transformation that we go through in the steps is that I am turning to a higher power now, and I'm willing to wait for an answer, which is not comfortable for a person with two alcoholic parents and a bipolar stepdad. Okay, I lived in chaos. When I started practicing waiting for an answer, letting my higher power provide the answer instead of running around trying to do it myself, it was uncomfortable. I felt like I was in early sobriety. This has only been in the past 5 years. I felt like I was in early sobriety again, trying to learn how to dance sober. Has anyone done that? Man, it's hard at first. You feel so stiff. I love live music. I love to dance. I had to get that back, but it took some time. It's the same thing with this. You know, I think there's a conflict with Alia, and I don't know, and she's not getting back to me, and I'm so uncomfortable, and I'm looking at the text 15 times a day to see if she's answered yet. You know, I've got anxious attachment for you young ones that know those words. You know, it's uncomfortable for me to turn to my higher power and say, okay, God, whatever the answer is from you, I can wait. All right, now that's 10. I'm disturbed. Okay, maybe I talk to somebody about it and I talk about it once, not 10 times, not to 15 people. Okay, that's not what step 10 does. I talk about it once, pray and ask God for help, make amends if I need to. Now we turn our thoughts to someone else, right? Because I don't need to sit in my crap all day. This isn't therapy. Talk therapy only takes us so far, right? It gives us a little, it's helpful. Trust me, I've done tons of it. And I'm going to have feelings of grief, and I'm going to have other negative emotions, and they're going to be with me. But as an alcoholic, I cannot spend my time wallowing in that. I need to move on. It's too dangerous for me to sit in those feelings. And so what I do is I turn and I pray and I ask God for help. And I do this all day. I am in communion with my higher power all day long. I am not a person who gets up and meditates for 20 minutes. I'm going to admit that. I'm going to speak up for the non-meditator. Sorry. I live in a really quiet part of the world. Okay. I visited LA in December and experienced their traffic again. I live, and my friend who lives there is always trying to get me to go on a retreat. I'm like, I live in a retreat. You don't understand. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. We rarely ever have traffic. Like I'm looking at the most beautiful. I live right on the edge of the woods, and all my windows in the back of my house, all I see is green. And I get a lot of quiet time. My life is really easy for that. I don't have to carve out time to sort of be quiet and in communion with my higher power. I'm constantly turning. So anytime anything doesn't have an answer, right? And my stuff, right? It's like my stuff is here. I just put it down over here. And then I turn away from it. I abandon myself utterly to him. You know, all these little phrases in the book. And I show up with an open mind, open heart, open hands. God, tell me what you want me to do right now in this moment. My program is at the top of page 63. I have a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed as long as we stayed close to him and performed his work well. I'm really talking about step 11 too. You got me? Okay, because I'm talking to God. And however you talk to God, it's okay. Whoever you think is your God. For me, it's not so much about who it is as what I'm doing. It's about the action I'm taking away from Elizabeth and towards something else. And my experience has been that when I get right with that, all kinds of remarkable things happen. It's true what it says in the book. Now, while I'm not thinking about my stuff, I need something to do, okay? That's where step 12 is perfect for us. It jumps right in there. My home group has what we call our fellowship chat. We are putting new people in there every day, people on one day, people on 2 days. When I don't want to think about Elizabeth or Elizabeth's unanswered questions in my life, My very first go-to is to go check on somebody. Who's that girl on day two? How's she doing? Day three is really hard for people. Go check on her. I immediately get into action, and I've learned that what's amazing is while I'm doing that, a lot of times the unanswered questions in my life get answered without my help. And I'm able to be open and present in each moment. Are there any husbands in here? Your wives complain that you're not listening to them, right? How many times are you actually really where your feet are, right? You're thinking about everything else. I'm thinking about all the things I need to solve and worry about and fix and change, and I'm not even there. As I have practiced this, giving to my higher power, whatever it is that's disturbing me that doesn't have an answer right now, I'm able to be present. I used to run around in the world. I have a whole story about grocery bags. I've been recorded a lot at this point. And if you find a talk of mine, I talk about this a lot. But let's just say I was not pleasant to the people who were waiting on me because I was thinking about what I thought needed to happen. I was so caught up in my own little plans and designs, I wasn't even there. Now that's all different. I went through this breakup last fall. Yeah, I finally ended that relationship that I was in. Tried for a long time, but I decided I would start buying myself flowers. I've got beautiful flowers in front of me right now. I actually have a relationship with the women in the floral department at the grocery store at this point. I'm able to be there. I'm older. I'm going to more doctor's appointments. These are adventures now. Someone at the doctor, the nurse, she was like, "How's your son doing in college?" That never happened to me before. People just tolerated me. I could feel it. I usually didn't notice. I wasn't noticing. I usually didn't even notice what was going on with other people. Now I can actually be there with them. And there's a whole different feeling. It's a feeling of harmony, And I had to see, where I came up in AA, they didn't talk a lot about 10, 11, and 12, or people would be like, just do a four step every year. Why would you do? And I didn't get it. Now I really notice anytime I feel the slight bit of lack of serenity, lack of openness, lack of present, because it's not a constant way of thinking anymore, because I keep practicing. Now I notice when something's off and I can go and talk to somebody, ask for help. I'm gonna do inventory on my, it's really on my ex, which is the thing that I'm struggling with. Bitterness over ha what happened at the end of our relationship. I go and ask for help because I don't want to feel pain. One of the things about being 38 years sober is it doesn't become more tolerable to feel pain. It's less tolerable because I've had a lot of peace now. I don't want to feel that stuff anymore. I don't want to feel blocked. And then I pray and ask for help. And it's been amazing when I leave things with my higher power, how many times obstacles get removed, things get resolved. And I didn't even do anything. And then I am always looking for sponsees. I've never had too many. I've occasionally said, ask me next week. I can't say yes this week because a lot of them don't stay. It's a numbers game. If you're sponsoring and you've only, I can't, I mean, I can count the percentage of people that I've gotten through the traditions, they don't all stay. So I'm always looking. I want to be in the book with people. That's how I continue to grow and get deeper with my steps, is by being with new people in the steps. And it's such a beautiful experience. I can't believe how much like things have changed for me just by really using this stuff in my life all day long. And not having to have the answers anymore. That's amazing. Like, I love that. Anyway, there's always so much more to learn about this stuff, and I continue to learn, and I love it. I also really love the traditions and learning how to apply them at the group level. I know you guys care about that too. I know this group does. I'm aware of that, and that's about me not being about me, but being a good AA member and being a good group member and respecting my group and the group decisions. It's there's always more to learn in AA, and I love being part of this. And I hope, if there's anything I can do to be helpful to anyone in here, if you're struggling, if you have time, if you find yourself, running around feeling restless, irritable, and discontented, and you think that you have no way out, I love to help people learn how to apply the steps in their lives, and I'm happy to share my number. So, thank you so much for asking me, guys, to speak here, and I look forward to hearing what you all have to say. Thanks.
Thank you.